This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna, along with XV, Don, Headmaster Ferguson, Diecast, executive producing and contributing, and Rob Clay on the audio-only channel. This is RFC 525. Guys, how are you doing?
Not bad.
I'm doing excellent.
You had to think about it. Yeah. Well, we are 1 week into the era of The Last Knight. We'll get to that in a second. But before we jump into that and all the news and all that that implies, Brian Kilby, he's out feeling a little ill this evening, and he'll be back next week, I think, if he pulls through. Everybody send good vibes to Brian. And I am going to be hosting.
He's out ill seeing Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, he's in line with the hopes of seeing Spider-Man Homecoming with his illness in tow. So I'm sure Brian is rethinking his decisions today and what led him to this long line of geekery. Although he did say that it gave him like flashbacks of BotCon being in line with that.
Is that a good thing, though?
I don't know.
Since the alternative is HasCon, yes, it is.
Well, you don't know. HasCon could have lines with that ilk too.
I think HasCon will be happy to have lines of any kind. So
they'll be glad to have people in general there.
Sick burn.
Hey, there's going to be 45,000 people there.
I mean, that's most of the population of Rhode Island, right?
I mean, Dude Perfect's going to be there, right? That pulls at least 20,000.
Chewbacca mom. That's got to be good for at least 15,000 more. I mean, I'm sure they can make up the rest with just, you know, the people flying in or doing day trips. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't going to go, but, you know, now that they have Chewbacca mom, I feel obligated.
Yeah. As somebody who lives in North Texas, I'm afraid I have to claim her. She's from this area. Of course. Of course.
I'm sorry.
Brian did leave me specific instructions, and so I'm going to execute them right now. Everybody who's listening, he wants me to take a minute to plug our survey, tfradio.net/survey. Hey, leave your honest and candid feedback unless it's negative, and then don't. But tfradio.net/survey, get on it. We've got a new website after 10 years of the other site-ish, kind of building and churning and grinding away. Go to tfradio.net, and before you take the survey, look around. It's got stuff for our Roku channel. It's got our Amazon links. It's got all the shows, obviously, in a nice, clean, modernized format. Check it out.
Yeah, our new site is basically stronger than before.
Go Zio.
Yes. indeed. Indeed. Hey, Don, now that I hear your dulcet tones, we're going to move into segment one.
Okay.
Anybody get anything? Don Ferguson, did you get anything of note?
Yeah, what's your big item this week, Don?
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
It does. That's when not Brian's not here.
Yeah, it does. It's big and it's robotic. Yeah. It's in a box. It's
Brian is the gift set.
Brian is the only host that enforces the Transformers only rule on what we got this week.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's no fun.
So basically, I got the Voltron gift set. After coupons, discount codes, and Dononomics, I got $35 in the set. I think I got a good deal.
So when you do that calculation, is Dononomics like a line item? Like when you're doing like additions and deductions, Dononomics, it's separate discount.
Well, it stops at the point where I have to pull out my Lotus 1-2-3 and start using it.
Wow.
So because that's what I was trained on in college was Lotus 1-2-3 for my accounting software.
We'll probably get into it on There Goes My Money possibly, but did you open that thing yet? It looks unopened.
Not yet, just because time and everything. The other thing I got this week, it was a very light week after what I've spent so far. Steelbook, Transformers the movie, Blu-ray.
Why'd you steal the book, Don?
My precious. No, it's
finally. Yes, finally, so. Don gets to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's not like I don't have it memorized from listening to it on audio tape, because when I was younger, we didn't have a VCR.
You had a reel-to-reel.
Well, no, my parents had a VCR, but I didn't have one in my room. So we rented Transformers the movie. I recorded it to audio tape, and then we listened to it in my room. So I know the movie.
That's awesome.
Don, don't open it. That'll be a collector's item.
It'll be like E.T. at the bottom of the ditch there. And
hey, they made a movie about that eventually.
They sure did. Don, do you still have that tape, that audio tape?
No, I think that tape disintegrated just from use. But I do still have most of my tapes when I recorded the episodes off broadcast TV. The original broadcast, not the
like
sci-fi
commercials. Devil. Commercials and everything.
Yeah. Well, no. I was cutting the commercials out to save tape because you get two episodes per side.
Yeah, but those commercial, like the audio even from those commercials, would be valuable now.
Yeah, that's the best part. Yeah. To be honest.
Yeah. Period commercials, man.
Oh, the best. That's a YouTube rabbit hole for sure. XV, well, what did you get?
Oh, this, I have nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. All right.
Don, did you want to slide in one last comment then?
No, I didn't.
I thought you did. Sounded like it. Rob Clay, what did you get?
Well, most of the toys I got for my birthday came in well before this past week, but I did get a Steam gift card, so I finally got Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. And, John, did you ever play Target Earth on the Genesis?
Yeah, sure.
They've actually remade that under its original Japanese title, Assault Suit Lanos, and it is pretty good.
Ah, that's random and weird.
Yeah, it's like 10 bucks on the Steam sale, and I'd say it's worth that. They've made it even a little bit more bullet hellish than it was originally, but they've added a shield, so that makes it a lot more survivable.
Okay. Because
of course, Cybernator was on the Super Nintendo was actually a sequel to that, so they added in the shield and the punch from Cybernator, and that does help things a lot.
Yeah, that reminds me of now they're redoing Shadow of Colossus as a quick aside, and now there's a significant movement of people who have stated that they will be upset if when they remake the classic Shadow of the Colossus, people are going to be upset if they fix the janky controls. I don't understand.
What is wrong with gamers?
I don't know. But, if you fix this broken thing, it's ruined. Okay.
Is this new Soundwave podcast?
I wanted to make a note there. When you're going and filling out that survey that we mentioned earlier, make sure that you write in that you really want new Soundwave to come back.
Okay, moving on.
Well, I have a question. I do have a question.
Yeah.
Is Shadow of the Colossus old enough to be a classic?
Yeah, it's old enough for like a 12-year-old to have no idea what it is and like to be introduced to it all over again.
I mean, that was a PS2 game?
Yeah. Somebody in their 30s to remember it.
For me, they should have put Turtle Tournament Fighters on the SNES Classic coming out. That's a lot more of a.
Yeah, that's a licensing issue, though.
Yeah, for sure. And who cares about that thing you'll never have? Shout out to Nintendo. They put out a press release where they effectively said that. They're like, yes. We just want to remind everybody that it is limited. Code, don't bother. So, great.
We're going to make more upfront, but after that, never again. So, have fun, everybody.
Yeah. So.
I'd be lying if I
SNES Classic,
leaving money on the table.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to try to get a pre-order in just to flip one later.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Diecast, did you get anything big and significant, and/or something that deserves a spotlight ahead of "There Goes My Money"?
I did. They're not big, but they're not really too significant, but they are timely. I got the Wave 2, the rest of the Wave 2, the Last Night Deluxe figures. So I got Drift, Steelbane, and Dinobot Slug because I already had Squeaks because I paid extra for him so I could get him early to review him.
Now, bearing in mind we can't actually see you this week, Diecast, did you open Steelbane yet?
No, I did not.
Okay.
He is still in the box.
Curious to see how the tolerances work out for yours, because that's a complaint going around.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people had bad problems with the tolerance on this guy. So, but I got him on Hasbro Toy Shop because I haven't seen any stores that actually have these in yet.
Right.
And I had a 20% off coupon. So even though they were $20 a pop, I still got, you know, a discount, and then it was free shipping because I got three of them.
Yeah. Nice. I just checked a while ago because apparently they did have Voyager, Megatron, and Hound at one point. Because it's saying sold out versus coming soon. But all the ones you mentioned are still showing in stock, but the Megatron and Hound are not.
Yeah, and it's a good option because then you don't have to worry about running to the store to try and track them down.
Yeah.
So, John DeLuna, did you get anything this week?
No. Well, I did, but it's not Transformers related. I'll be brief. It was to the shock of no one, a couple of Street Fighter figures. So I haven't opened them yet. I very rarely go out of Transformers land as far as like buying and collecting stuff. It's just not worth the time. But I collected a few Lego Batman stuff because the movie, I like the movie. And then Street Fighter stuff because I'm John DeLuna. Pleased to meet you. But I haven't opened them yet, but they're Storm Collectibles, new line of Street Fighter V figures. They look good. We'll see if they are good. They're in scale with like their other video game lines, like Mortal Kombat, which is kind of fun. If you wanted to have like in scale Street Fighter characters next to Mortal Kombat figures, that's kind of fun. But I hope they're good. The history of Street Fighter action figures is interesting. Also not good, but it's interesting and entertaining. if you're a toy person and a video game person, it's a sad trail of tears. Actual historical event.
Has it ever been as good as it was when it was G.I. Joe versus Street Fighter toys?
No. The answer is no. I could go on for half an hour, but the short answer is no.
See, that's why we need new Soundwave about toys.
No. Yeah, they've had
the video game toy podcast.
They've had technically better toys, but no, it's never been better.
Well,
go ahead. Well, Don.
One thing is that a lot of the local GameStops I've been to lately, trying to find those Thundercat figures. Apparently, a lot of the GameStops are going to what they call a 50-50 store, in the fact that they're going to games and a lot more collectibles.
Yeah.
So new Soundwave could be video game toys because it would be in line with. What's happening out in the world?
The hot topic of TFRadio.net. That sounds that's just what I want to do.
Really want to see me in metal studs? I'd be in metal studs and black leather. Do you really want to see that?
Yes. So coming fall 2017, a hot topic, hot sound wave. Okay, 10 years ago, this week in history, 10 years ago, 2007, very timely. The first Transformers movie, the live-action movie, was screened early for BotCon 2007 pre-registrants, advanced registration attendees. Terrific.
And that really, really big guy walked around and threatened all of us about keeping our phones in our pockets.
Yeah. That guy, for sure. Those were better days because Transformers, the movie franchise, didn't have a past to wrestle with. Fast forward to today. And yes, XV.
I was just going to say, it was nice sitting in the theater watching that first movie when the only thing I was worried about was, did they really just make a masturbation joke in a Transformers movie? What the hell am I watching?
Yeah. They sure did.
Oh, well, simpler times, man. Bumblebee
urinate on someone. He sure did.
Well, to me, that was like Spike cursing in the animated movie. They did that to make sure they got their adult rating, you know, just to... See, we're edgy.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. Again, a bumblebee peed on a guy. And and you know, that was like that was the worst we could come up with. Little did we know. Fast forward to today, and you know what? On the bright side, Michael Bay does love giant bombs. And he got one. Transformers 5, the last night, domestically has done less than half its opening weekend. And the last Transformers movie, the very memorable Age of Extinction. So it's not doing well here. It's doing exceedingly well in China and internationally.
Well, that's not entirely true. Now, it had its biggest opening for the franchise in China, from what I understand.
Yes, but about 130 million.
But the gross projection on it is still well below what Age of Extinction ended up pulling during its run. So it's still going to underperform in China.
So what I'm learning from this is China is definitely smarter than us.
Well, what I'm learning from this is that the ancient Vulcan saying is true and only Nixon can go to China.
I mean, that is probably the best Transformers movie we've had since the first, or definitely the best Transformers movie we've had since the first one. And Age of Extinction was horrible. So The Last Knight should be doing, in my eyes, exceedingly better than Age of Extinction.
Yeah, by quality of movie, I think it should be doing better than it is. But in terms of objective quality, like not taking it in the context of this is the least bad Transformers movie so far, like it makes perfect sense that this is just not catching on.
There's plus, also the fact that it has to suffer through the association of Age of Extinction. That's kind of, there's always going to be a drop off after a significantly worse movie.
Don, you've been trying to say three times now.
Oh, no. I was going to say, plus the fact there's franchise fatigue at this point.
Yeah.
I believe people aren't going out to see this early on because they know what to expect. And it's like I said last week, in the context of the Michael Bay Transformer movies, this is a competent, well-structured movie with a logical progression of events that aren't just set pieces. In the context of the Bay movies, against the rest of the movie world, no.
Yeah, nothing I feel like
I'm sorry.
I feel like you're. I feel like you're talking to Michael Bay like he's a 5-year-old learning how to write. You know what I mean? Like it's coming along great.
It shouldn't have taken this long to get a competently structured movie with beginning, middle, and end structure that wasn't herky jerky from set piece to set piece.
But he didn't write it. Michael Bay didn't write it. I mean, there's also other people involved, writers and.
I'm not
all
sure.
All these things that, I mean, we can't just blame Michael Bay for everything.
They put the writer's room together to make story pitches and concepts, basically outlines. Then they had Akiva Goldsman go through and take some of those and work them into a script. That's, that's where The Last Knight came from. Then it's Michael Bay's job to execute that script as he sees it in his mind and, tempered a little bit by the producers and the studio executives who are like, no, we can't afford this, do something else. Except they never tell him that because typically bags of money.
Yeah.
Typically. Rob, did you have something?
I just wanted to say, in terms of being a competently put together movie compared to the last ones, now that I've seen it, I think the biggest improvement about this one compared to the last three is that nothing Optimus Prime did offended me.
Or at least the things that could have been offensive were not actually his fault.
Yes, now about the seventh time he said, I am Optimus Prime, I may have said, we know out loud and made my uncle laugh, but nothing he did was just absolutely horrible. So that is a step up.
It's like we have your toy from two movies ago or three movies ago. We know who you are because it wouldn't shut up.
So one thing that I think that was clear going into this movie was you got the distinct feeling that, the world was kind of groaning about the prospects of another Transformers movie. There was effectively zero hype before the trailers kind of started to be just in front of people's faces. And then, just the overall kind of sentiment of like, this looks exactly like every other Transformers movie we've seen from the last 10 years. And they're right. It's just like an incremental change. So I don't know. The biggest crime I feel is that these are all just incredibly different from each other, and even the trailers are structured almost as if they're telling the exact same story, which in large ways they kind of are, like for the fifth straight time. Unfortunately, next year they're gonna They've got the Bumblebee movie slated. They're going to start filming in August next month. They are kind of backing off the idea of three straight years with three straight movies. But it is kind of a shame that it has taken them six movies to try a side story or try to do something, at least on paper, significantly different than the first five movies to at least like give people a taste of something different under the Transformers brand. I mean, XV, do you think, obviously they're walking stuff back because now it, you know, the honeymoon's over, but do you think it's too late, or do you think doing a side story like this, can they bring it back, or is it just time for a reboot? I mean, it's obviously late in the game to do this, but is it too late, or can they pull this off, bring people back?
What I've been reading is that the Bumblebee movie is going to have a smaller scope. It's going to be lower budget, more focused just on a small core character group. I think that's the right approach to take, especially after how The Last Knight seems to be underperforming. This is going to be their turning point. If this performs to expectations, that's probably going to set the tone for going forward. If this one falls short again, that's probably going to be the point where they say, you know what, let's take 5 years off and try this again when conditions are a little bit different, when people have forgotten a little bit more about, you know, the last 15 years.
Yeah, reboot time, I think. Yeah. Rob, what do you think? Do you think it's salvageable by doing the side story still in the same universe here?
I think it's possible. I think the fact that we're getting a new director, you know, some kind of new approach finally is going to help. And to be honest, I think the thing that's going to help most of all is if and when there is a Transformers 6, it's a new director on that too. And from, I can't necessarily say that, you know, what Michael Bay has said one way or another has any bearing on whether I think that'll happen, but if the receipts from The Last Knight are down as much as they appear to be, I think they might fight a little bit less hard to keep him on these this time.
Don, are you still in? Are you excited for the Bumblebee movie, or
I have there, never been excited left? For the
Oh no, I have never been Don. Excited.
Oh, it's just okay. It's just,
why do you hate Bumblebee?
Well, one, he's not voiced by Will Friedle. That's part of the problem right there. Sorry. But Bumblebee, of all the, you know, he got so much characterization in the first couple. He got so much screen time. He didn't get characterization. he got so much screen time that ate up from the other characters who were new to the franchise and could have used some more backstory or used some more fleshing out. And so it's like, we know who Bumblebee is. We know his shtick.
Whoa.
You know.
Yes, we know you don't like Bumblebee. You don't have
We're to. We're a family well, podcast.
Well, we don't no. have to work blue here.
PG no, rating.
No, I was not shooting for that word. It just
kind of comes out when you think about Bumblebee, right?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, when you get to Don's age, sometimes you don't know when that's going to start just, you know, coming out.
That's right. Thank you.
Life's too short to hold back on Bumblebee.
Yeah. So I will say that I think Bumblebee as well known as he is as a character in this franchise, if it's a smaller, tighter, better focused movie, that could be a lot of impetus to come back and try the next movie under a different director. So I think there is some potential there. Personally, they're going to really have to wow me with something about this character that we don't know, weren't expecting, or something big that, because I'm guessing whatever's going to happen in this movie will eventually be leading into movie 6, as far as either something from there, like a reverse Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What happens in the Bumblebee side movie will work into the main movie, not the other way around, like what happens with poor Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. having to shoehorn Marvel movies into their stuff. So, you know, there's that. It's so hard to get excited about these movies anymore, even though I did leave last night feeling like it was a much less worse experience than I was expecting.
Boy, the magic of cinema. Let me tell you. Hey, Diecast, if there is a remastering or re-recording of Mark Wahlberg singing The Touch in the Bumblebee movie, are you in or are you out?
I'm out.
Oh, that was my selling point for the movie. Yeah, that was my big idea for the trailer. Dang.
I'm excited about the Bumblebee movie, and the reason I'm excited the most about it is just because it is a different director. And like I said, I don't dislike Michael Bay. I want to see a different director's take on the Transformers. And I think it'll be a good movie. It still kind of blows my mind that this movie is not doing as well as we thought it, or as I thought it was going to do. I'm not going to bring you guys down with me, but
thank you.
Especially with the trailer. I mean, the trailer was like one of the most watched trailers ever. And I know that's only a couple, you know, a minute or two, but there was a lot of strong points going into the movie, indicators saying that this was going to do well. And I hope word gets out there that it is a decent movie and is a fun movie. And I hope people will, you know, actually start going to it. Maybe it'll do better on the back end than it did up front.
Okay, sure. Counterpoint.
Yep.
Counterpoint. It's not a decent movie. It's not a fun movie. It's just the least bad Transformers movie.
Oh my God.
You like all the Transformers movies,
yeah, let's give this plucky can-do franchise a chance, guys. Come on, let's all chip in and
yeah,
give Michael Bay a shot.
Yeah.
At success.
If nothing else, there's no get out of jail free card scene in this movie. Versus,
it's called a statutory rape license, Don. Get it right.
Yeah, I was fired.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that there is no cringeworthy scene like that. There's no twins like Mudflap and Skids. So if that's something that
there's no like three story high testicles. Right.
Yeah. You know, so
that right. Half mile in diameter.
Yeah. So, you know, all the crap from the previous movies, that was that one moment that said, this made me wish not to see this movie. It's really not a scene like that in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, they tone that stuff way down, and that's good. At the same time, the more I've thought back on it, the more I've realized through most of that movie, I was not having any reaction to anything that was on the screen. And that's kind of bad. Rob, my time.
My primary reaction to most of this, what was on the screen a lot of times, especially just the, when we're, you know, go to Anthony Hopkins, you know, estate there and we're supposed to be getting exposition and Mark Wahlberg and Laura Haddock are just sniping at each other. My response was, get the hell on with it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I need to go home.
But I do have a question for everybody here. Do you think there's just such a thing as pushing too hard? Because we got a trailer for this every day.
Sometimes two.
In the month leading up to this movie. Sometimes two.
Yes, there is such a thing as pushing too hard.
Yeah.
That was actually going to be a point I brought up if there was the opportunity. Like, that the first trailer, the main trailer, yeah, it was highly viewed. It was a popular upload on YouTube, for sure. Got a lot of play during the Super Bowl airing and everything. But then they just kind of kept pushing and showing too much. They gave people too much of an idea of what to expect out of this. Less is definitely more in this movie's case, I think. You know, leave people wondering, give them just enough to make them want to go and see, okay, how did these scenes fit together in the whole narrative, such as it is? Yeah, they oversaturated with what they showed us. They tried way too hard.
I agree with that. I think one of the things, too, that the trailers and the movies kind of in general over time have made less and less of a big deal is the transforming part. So like in Transformers 1, they made a big deal of like, hey, just the fact that these things transform into from one thing to another, you know, like kind of why the toys became a big deal 30 years ago. That has like become effectively no aspect of the movie or certainly the trailers at all. There's no like wonderment. There's not even, there's barely any transformation in any of the trailers. It's just a bunch of giant robot men, swinging swords. That is not compelling.
Yeah, John, to me, you kind of went from, like, say, Cybertron, where everyone seemed to get, like, in the first movie, it was more like Cybertron, where everybody got, like a better transformation scene, so you could sort of see, like the movie scene in the first movie in the alleyway where everybody's transforming. You kind of watch that. And it kind of drifted at some point to, like, Beast Machines, where it's just, like, a morph, just like a flash of light or a bunch of, you know, just poof, and that was it.
Oh, so Age of Extinction.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly. You know.
Hey, so, speaking of 30-year-old transformations and dinosaurs, what a segue that some of this kind of dovetailed into. Trypticon is showing up at overseas toy stores, or at least one toy store. He has been sighted, folks. So his release is probably relatively imminent. I don't know. What more can we say other than Hasbro Trypticon is on his way very, very soon?
Yeah.
Is the hype still there?
I want him. That's what I can say.
Yeah. And apparently, this at one some of these stores in this chain, it's in Australia. Apparently, some of the stores are stocking it in their pet department.
Yes, because it makes a great companion. You should get one for Massey.
What do they think it is?
No, it makes sense because, like, you know, they already have accommodation for huge stuff there because they have, like, they can house 50-pound bags of dog food, and that's basically the same size.
So, but I believe the Australian retail is about $250 US. So don't, unless you really want to get one early, diecast, don't import one from Australia.
I mean, well, that's kind of the thing. Like, every Titan-class toy that's come out has had a price bump versus the last one in Australia. Even though, like, we had a bump from Metroplex to Devastator, but from Devastator to Fortress Maximus and now to Trypticon, the prices stayed consistent. So, like, Australia's retail is just kind of inflating this on their own.
You know what? I'll pass anyway because Big Bad Toy Store had theirs slated to be released in June, we only have 3 days till.
No,
July,
I mean they updated their listing to be July.
Oh, okay. So, but originally it was June, so I was thinking that it was going to be. Release is imminent.
Juanito Black in the chat mentions that there's been report of breakage and damage on Trypticon's hip joints. I haven't looked too deeply into this, but I have heard a little bit. Seems like the joint is just built up so tough, and the springs and ratchet joints are so solid on them that they are exceeding the strength of the plastic in some cases.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow. So it's like tearing itself apart.
Apparently, it is possible to disassemble and take out some of the hardware. And, like, still have a functional Trypticon afterward, but which is not so tense that it's going to rupture its own hips.
Oh, but looks like I'm going to have a fixed video.
But you should have to on a $150 Transformer.
You'll get no argument from me, Don.
So, Figure King 233 has come out, or at least scans of it. Transformers Last Night, Legends, Masterpiece, and more are in the magazine. XV Rob, do you want to go into detail? You can see the scans at tformers.com.
And hopefully on the stream if Diecast is doing his job correctly.
Yeah, I'm going shotgun through the news.
You want me to do my job correctly?
I'm not going to blame Diecast if he's falling behind on the video because we're making good time, guys. Good time through lots of news. Apparently, Brian takes a 3-hour lunch because he said he was going to do the notes during lunch, and he put about 65 bullet points of news. So, you know, we're just kind of briskly, traipsing through these notes here. We don't have to go into detail, but most of these you can find at tformers.com if you're interested in learning about these headlines. The last night's Hot Rod video review. That you can find on tformers.com. Here's something I do want to hover on for a bit, guys. Masterpiece, Cassette Bot, and Cassettron. MP15/16-E. Boy, that sounds wonderful. Full reveal images are out. So we get Enemy. We even get a new molded Cassette Bot, Masterpiece Cassette Bot. XV.
Yep.
You want to give us some details on this set now that we get an eyeful?
We'd seen last week the uncolored prototype for Night Stalker, which is our first look at the masterpiece Steeljaw mold. So we've got that in color now. You actually could make out more detail on the uncolored one since it was gray and not black. But like all the decos on these cassettes looks really nice at this stage. I especially like Stripes, which should surprise no one since it's predominantly orange.
Well, so is the, what is that? That was obviously a rat bat mold.
That's Wing Thing.
Wing Thing. That was Action Master Soundwave's Target Master partner.
And he is definitely orange.
Yeah, I like that too. Stripes is more orange, yeah. But I also like Wing Thing, yes.
Well, you just got a perfectly good Stripes toy not that long ago, and now you want another one.
Well, I mean, like, two-thirds of that statement is correct, and I did just get a Stripes toy not too long ago.
Not a good one.
Right. That's the joke, Diecast. Thank you.
But the only thing I'm worried about is when the Masterpiece cassettes came out with Soundwave in Japan, they were so expensive for what they were per pack of two. I just don't know if I want to spend this kind of money for them. And I'm just not sure if I want to do that or not.
Think about it, Don. Sleep on it. I think you'll be sure. Give it some time. You'll come around to being sure. Trust me. I'm sure you'll be sure. We also got a whole mess of images and even some 360 views of a lot of stuff. So we've got Masterpiece Sunstreaker and MP12 Plus, your anime sideswipe. We've got 360 views of that are out. And then Takara Tomy just dumped their whole server of stock photos on the world. We've got Sharktacon and the Sweep. We've got Hot Rod and Cub and Six Shot and Double Cross and Misfire and Broadside and all kinds of good stuff. This latest batch of stock photos, anything jump out in particular to you guys? Anything look better or worse than you've seen previous? We even got stock photos of old Tripticon out. So any news with all these stock photos, or are they just stock photos? What do you say, Don? Anything?
Hot Rod looks a little better. I'm not sure if it's just finalized colors or me just not remembering the first batch of pictures. Not enough to double dip on him versus the Cup, which is a lot more significantly different than the U.S. version. But I think the Hot Rod looks a little bit better. Misfire, of course, is going to be a definite purchase to get him as a Target Master, though.
Yeah, for sure. Hot Rod's one of those things that, because of the way they've re-engineered or reworked his chest, like, that's kind of the thing. If you buy into that, you're going to buy into him. And if that's not a really big deal, then there's probably not much compelling you, I guess, outside of the, you know,
the Target Master,
I guess, the Target Master thing. But like, as far as him, he goes, he's a concept. He's got the window hood for some reason. So you either think that's worth it or not.
The stained glass chest just confuses me.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's a gimmick. I mean, if compels you to buy it, great. If it's not interesting.
I'm only buying it for the Target Master, though.
Yeah. That's the thing.
He is Hot Rods. Therefore, he might have been Rodimus. So he's a member of the Church of Primus. So they wear stained glass. I mean, there's your connection right there.
Are you writing the back copy for the box or something? What is this like?
No.
Is this on his text back? If he has
no, my copy would be the damn good copy. There's a difference.
Awesome. I love it. Don't say Don isn't proud of his copywriting skills, for the record. Let's see here. Oh, here is a delicious bit for the collectors out there who missed out on Tokyo Toy Show 2017. Black Convoy, apparently he's almost certainly getting a second run because he was the NES classic of Transformers, apparently. He just disappeared instantly. But hey, I guess somebody's got a heart over there and they're going to do a second run. Rob, are you surprised by this? Are you pleased by this? I cannot recall. Are second runs common or is this a rare thing? I can't remember the last. I want to say I've we have gotten second runs of things here and there, but it doesn't strike me as far as like a convention exclusive like this. Have we ever gotten anything like this again?
I can't think of anything, especially, you know, we have gotten, I want to say that in terms of just regular product, they did a second run of Legends RC. But in terms of an exclusive like this, I'm pretty sure that's a first. I cannot remember ever getting a second run on an exclusive anything.
I mean, yeah, the last second run I can think of is Masterpiece Megatron. He sold out really fast, and they're doing another run of him later this year.
Yeah, Masterpieces, yeah, I mean, it's not so uncommon to get second production runs of those after some time has passed. Megatron's a little bit fast. The thing with the convention exclusives, though, is that with Takara, usually they don't need to because they still have a bunch left over after whatever event they debut with that. People can get on the web shop there and actually order them after the fact pretty easily.
Indeed. Yeah, this is, I guess this is a testament to how fast he did really sell out. It wasn't just perception. And, you know, like I said, I guess they have a heart. I don't know.
They said outright that they underestimated the demand for that item.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's what led them to go ahead and set up a second run of it.
Hey,
they were probably just like me. It's just another Black Optimus Prime.
And every fan in the world was like, yeah. It sure is. So, you know,
here's my money.
Yeah, here's like, have you met us in the last 20 years? Have you seen how we act? Don, are you going? I take it, Don, you missed this because everybody did. Are you interested in this? Are you going to get one?
No, because I'm not spending that much money for that mold at all. Because I don't. I'd rather put that money towards something I don't have.
The real question I have for you, Don, is: are you going to get a Transformer named Coot? That is a not Masterpiece cup.
I'll be honest. I do like that better than the other version. But since I'm double dipping on Hasbro and Takara cup, that's for right now. That's good enough for me. However, if the dynamics of the situation allows me to get Coot for a lower price, then I will probably consider picking him up to go with, you know, the other stuff.
I'm just waiting for Don to come on the show one day and be like, well, I sold a kidney, so I got Coot for $1.
I was feeling lucky, so I picked up some Coot off the streets. So, yes, Fans Toys FT22 Coot is an unofficial MP sort of cup. Color test shots are out there on the intranets. Diecast, I'm looking at you.
We all are.
Is this going to happen?
Oh, yeah, he will. He will be at my doorstep very soon because I think this is almost done. Like, this is the next figure we're going to get other than maybe their Sea Spray. I think they might do something where, you know, both these ship right around the same time, the Sea Spray and Coot. So we're going to have some Fans Toys before their Wallidigus Hurtigus, which is their Omega Supreme.
Okay, Rob and XV, I'm going to let you guys be the arbiters of style. Rob, aesthetically speaking, design wise, thumbs up, thumbs down.
On Coot?
Yes.
I think it's pretty decent, except for that big seam in the middle of the chest. If the final doesn't have that, I think they did a pretty good job.
XV.
The vehicle mode is overly long in back.
All right, there you go. Some like good, the robot, some bad.
The robot proportions kind of work, but it looks like... Imagine a limousine that's a pickup truck, but also has no tailgate.
Okay, sure. Got it. I will say this. 4 thumbs up on the name. I love it. I can't stop saying it. Okay, thanks to Amazon for all of that you do for us, and all of that you do for us is due to our listeners and our viewers. Just as a reminder, go to tfradio.net/Amazon, do your Amazon shopping, and you support the show because we get some shekels back from whatever you spend with Amazon if you click that link, the Amazon link at tfradio.net, or just going straight to tfradio.net/Amazon, doing your shopping, you support us. By the way, if you are a reader of comics, and IDW needs you now to support IDW. If you've seen them in the news, they lost about $2 million in their latest earnings report. So do you read? Do you know how to read? Do you like Transformers? Probably, because you're listening to us. IDW would like to have a word with you. And you can go to tfradio.net/comics and jump into all kinds of comic goodness and support IDW, like we say. Google IDW earnings, and then out of the goodness of your heart, go to tfradio.net/comics and do some stuff. Go mess around over there. By the way, the Massey Attack list, Brian wants you to know, has been updated. tfradio.net/MasseyAttack. That's Massey with two S's. E-Y. M-A-S-S-E-Y. Attack. tfradio.net/MasseyAttack. Okay, Rob, what is happening on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, we've got an interview that Chevrolet Japan posted with the lead designer on movie masterpiece Bumblebee. Yuya Onishi's work is the one working on that, and it is a mechanically translated interview, so good luck.
Fill in the gaps in your mind, right?
Yeah, and be prepared to mentally paraphrase pretty much everything.
Okay.
We've also got a video review of Titan Changer Megatron from Transformers The Last Knight. We've got a new piece of Last Knight merchandise was also seen at Universal Studios theme parks. It's just, it's a set of non-transforming figurines that has Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Megatron, and Squeaks.
And
it's,
very little paint.
Oh, and very little paint. It doesn't transform and no paint? That sounds perfect.
But the box is kind of neat looking. So you go. Mm. Also, they have new shirts and things. So, you know, they have generally updated for the new movie, as you might guess. And also, I posted my review of Transformers Lost Light number 7. And I consumed two pieces of Transformers media this week. The one that irritated me less was Transformers 5, and the other one was written by James Roberts. It has been a really weird week.
Oh, no. That's that's a tease, for sure. I want to know more.
The review, I've decided it's in the best interest of the comic, its fans, and myself not to review it anymore, and I go through why in the interview. In review, rather, I was jumping ahead of myself. James Roberts was a very good sport about it on Twitter and offered to talk to me further about, you know, my thoughts and his on Lost Light at some point. And, you know, hopefully we'll do that sometime.
I love it. I hope so, too. Hey, Don, what is happening on this network right here this week?
Well, the big question, John, is what isn't happening on this network?
Because we got nothing. Everything's happening on this network. Man.
Let me tell you.
On the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, The Game. Wesley Crusher returns to save the Enterprise from the VR STD Riker picked up on Risa in Star Trek Next Generation's The Game. All this in a Klingon Bidet 2. Being Awesome, episode 109, The Dark Side of the Last Knight's Moon. This Week in Awesome, Rob talks about the odd local TF5 radio commercial you heard before seeing TF5. Oh, what, TF5? Rob talks about his impressions as well as the neat Gorilla TF5 marketing campaign at Universal Studios. Q&A goes into what Rob thinks is a better when it comes to being a modern-day Transformers fan. RPG's Lessons Learned, Episode 8, Tomb of Horrors. On this episode of RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Brian talk about their play of Gary Gygax's Tomb of Horrors. From their game experience to John Wick's criticism, there's a lot to talk about on this nearly 40-year-old adventure. You'd think they would have completed it by now.
All right.
How Was Your Weekend? Episode 10, Heroes Con. On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian talk about Heroes Con. Brian shares his thoughts on nerd culture, cosplay, comic conventions, comic speculation, the rise and fall of the comic industry, and more. There Goes My Money, episode 22, Mighty Number 9, The RC. On There Goes My Money, we talk about all the awesome Transformers we got this week, including Don's, that's me, super secret birthday gift to himself, plus this week's pre-orders. Happy Days in Wilkes, episode 38. Brian reviews the new Transformers movie. By popular demand, Brian reviews the new Transformers movie that he watched at Cousin Terry's on his Fire Stick.
Now, I listened to that episode, and I think there's some continuity problems with it, but I'll leave that to the other listeners to find for themselves.
Okay. It's Transformers 5. There's continuity.
No, I mean continuity issues in the podcast.
Oh, man. He's already messed up his own universe. No.
Time for a DC soft reboot. RFC reviews Titans Returns Repugnance. This week, Diecast has Titans Returns Repugnance up for review.
Hey, what a tremendous offering at tfradio.net. By the way, Brian and I, so long as Brian recovers from his ailment, his predicament, and can come back strong, he and I will record Get the Skinny tomorrow. So we'll probably have that out by the end of the week or so. Okay, so just as a reminder to wrap up the show, all you beautiful listeners and viewers out there, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/525. It is episode 525. And don't forget to drop us a voicemail. You can also use it, the same line, to send text, and that is 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-99-GOBOT. Also known as 931-994-6268. 931-99-GOBOT. Blasphemy that, yes, GOBOT is in our text and voicemail line. Social plugs. First of all, you can find me everywhere, including MyFitnessPal and Twitch and Twitter at ThatJohnDXV. How about you?
No, I'm good.
Don, how about you?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR.
Rob Clay.
I am on Twitter at Figure Reviewers, on YouTube at Flailthroughs, and of course all the reviews that XV and I do can be found on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
And Diecast.
You can see my reviews on YouTube at RFC Reviews. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and you can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can also follow TF Radio on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio, and on Instagram at TF Podcast.
And his internet prevented his internet prevented him from being here with us, but you can follow Melvar on Twitter at Melvar with 3 L's and 2 R's.
Hey, how about that? You know what? XV is nowhere to be found on social media, but he is a good friend and plugs other people's social media. So, yes, congratulations to Matt on that plug. And thank you to XV, and thank you to everybody. Again, beautiful listeners and viewers. You can support us, tfradio.net/Amazon. Go, go, go. Until next week, for the guys, this is John DeLuna, XV Rob Clay, Headmaster Don, and Diecast. We'll see you guys on the next RFC.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?